Before we moved to Paris, in the summer of 2008, my husband Calvin and I used to pore over the Atlas of France. I would stand in the kitchen cooking dinner, and he would lean on the counter, keep my wine glass filled, and turn the book's wide pages. He'd read the names of regions out loud: Alsace, Bretagne, Champagne, Provence, Normandy. And we would dream about renting a car and circling the country, a road trip to the regions with the food we wanted to eat. Of course, this being France, that narrowed down the list to almost everywhere. We talked about the road trip a lot as we crunched toast on Sunday mornings. We listened to the Charles Trenet song Route Nationale 7 and dreamed about the Route des Vacances, about the highway that makes a recipe. We read books set in hilltop Provençal villages and bourgeois left-bank apartments, and yet I don't think either one of us ever really thought we would take the trip. At the time, we were living in New York, then Beijing, then Washington, D.C., moving every 3 years or so, blown hither and yon by Calvin's job as a diplomat. "Maybe when we're retired," we said, "we'll rent a car and drive everywhere in France." And so the fantasy began anew. But retirement was decades away. In the fall of 2007, Paris couldn't have been further from our minds. We had just moved to Washington, D.C., after 4 years in China. Calvin was traveling to Asia for work almost 2 weeks out of every month. And at 32 years old, I was struggling to ignite a career as a freelance food writer in a town whose favorite dish was power. But the wonderful, terrible thing about foreign service life is that you move all the time. Our stint in Washington was for only a year, and by October, Calvin was already bidding on his next assignment. He put France on the list with lots of hope, but very little expectation. Yet somehow, against all odds, we found out we were going to Paris. In the months before the move, I could barely talk about it. I was petrified that any discussion, any expression of joy, any speculation about supermarché or metro stops would jinx everything. It just seemed too good to be true. A 3-year sojourn in Paris with my favorite person, a chance to try the 246 varieties of cheese that de Gaulle had joked about, an opportunity to discover the cuisine of La Belle France, to taste things that I had both read and dreamed about for half my life. And the crowning flourish of shaved truffles, we would finally get to take the road trip. So I held my breath as we packed boxes, bought towels and sheets, and ticked off the days one by one. I held it throughout 7 weeks of French immersion at a language school in rural Vermont. I held it as I stepped onto the plane in Washington and off it at Roissy, on the RER commuter rail, all the way to the left bank. And there, inside our new apartment, my mind dizzy with jet lag and happiness, I lay down on the bare parquet floor, stared up at the ornate crown molding, and sighed. Perhaps I exhaled too soon, for we had scarcely unpacked our boxes and picked a favorite local boulangerie when Calvin got called away to Baghdad. For a year. I stayed in Paris because Iraq was one of the few places in the world where we couldn't be together. Instead of the shared adventure I had anticipated, I found myself navigating a new country, a new language, and a new culture alone, while trying to keep the worry and loneliness at bay. Paris was still its elegant, gold-tipped, gleaming, curly-cued self, as heartbreakingly lovely up close as when I dreamed about it from afar. But my dream of living there had changed. At first, I wasn't sure how to maneuver myself toute seule. I missed my husband like an internal organ, and the city, which had seemed so quaintly formal when we were together, with its bonjour and bonsoir and four-course dinner parties and cheek kisses instead of hugs, felt a little cold now that I was alone. I wandered with trepidation, conscious of my American accent and Asian face, an unsure grasp of French verbs. How could I find a place in this city that was so elegant and so uninviting? It felt like a Herculean challenge, which I realized afresh every time I bought vegetables in the market and the vendeur corrected my French. Me: un bot de carottes, s'il vous plaît? Him: une botte, une. And then, somewhere in the midst of navigating new markets and memorizing new vocabulary, I remembered the wife of another American diplomat, a woman who had lived here 60 years earlier, another trailing spouse who needed a push to find her way, Julia Child. Julia Child came to Paris because of the career of her husband, Paul Child. At first, she was just another embassy spouse, albeit one who loved to eat. But when she started taking cooking classes at the Cordon Bleu, her path unfurled in a clear direction, one guided by food. Living in France and studying French cuisine changed her life. Food gave her a structure, a reason to ask questions, read history, explore, learn. It gave her a voice.